That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it ball for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, and you know it has rolled around again, and here we are at the Radio Ranch. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we are coming to you live this June 28th, I think is the day. Is that right, Kyle? June 28th?
Sounds good to me.
I think that's what it is, and we say good morning. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason. We got Jason on the line.
Good morning.
And we say good morning, Holy Spirit. John's on a got some business things going on, so he couldn't be with us this morning. But keep him in your prayers. He's on a business trip for the ministry. And so keep him in your prayers for safe travels. And we'll have the phone lines open up here in just a minute. And if you want to call in and have any comments this morning, see what's going on. But, you know, we better open up with a word of prayer first. That always seems to be about the best practice that I know of.
I think
so. Yeah. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. The outside, the sky is blue. The birds are chirping, Lord. The cows are belly deep in grass, green, green grass, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the beautiful day that it is, Lord. Lord, we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, going to that cross and taking my sins and our sins, the sins of your people, Lord, and taking them upon his back, taking the beating, the scourging that we deserved, and being that perfect lamb that was sacrificed for the sins of us. We thank you for that most of all, Lord, that allows us to come back into a relationship with you. It allows us, as the prodigal son, to return, to come out of the pig slop, and to return to you, our Heavenly Father, and to once again have the relationship with you that you desire. And we thank you for that, Lord. Be with us here. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit to be with us. Guide and direct us, Lord, our thoughts and our words. And let this be just a time of good fellowship, of praise to you, and Lord, fellowship with the remnant as they tune in from sea to shining sea. Lord, we thank you for the foundation that was laid that allows us to continue to build upon it, Father. The foundation that was laid on the rock that is Jesus Christ. The foundation that our pastor laid so many years ago and that he built upon. And Lord, help us continue. Help us to continue to build upon it, Father, to spread the gospel all across the world, to all of your remnant, to every corner that they may be in, Lord. Be with us. We pray for a good broadcast, and that, Lord, it'd be pleasing to you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jason, how's our audio sounding this morning?
Sounding great.
Good. Sounding good here. Sure appreciate you taking the time to come out yesterday afternoon and come clean our soundboard up a little bit. I think we found some problems, and hopefully we've got them worked out. And we've got the phone lines open. We'll open them up today and see how the callers sound as well, if anybody's up this early. A little later on the East Coast, it's almost noon out there, but 307-745-5913, if you want to call in. We've got our coffee poured here, and that's what the program is. It's coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we're the Wranglers, and we've got coffee, and so there you go.
Got the window open, a nice breeze coming in here.
Oh, it's great, isn't it? It's actually a little cool here for summertime. You know, we were downright cold this spring, and now that it's summertime, it's not exactly what you'd call hot here. We're a balmy 48 degrees outside.
Yeah, it feels good, though.
It does. Sunshine, but if you could see us here, Kyle and I both are in sweatshirts.
That's the best here, kind of weather
here
right
at the Radio Ranch, it is. And we're only supposed to be up to, I think about 70 today anyway. But
supposed to be hotter tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, but it's beautiful weather. We've had some rain flowing through.
Yeah, I was telling you before the show started that we cruised over to Cheyenne because I was a board short on finishing a deck project I've been doing. Cruised over to Cheyenne late in the afternoon yesterday, early evening, and man, we hit some, picked up my wife, and we hit some, I guess, cloud burst where the rain was coming down, and people were panicking because they can't see very far in front of them. They're not used to driving in rain out here too much, and that's the most dangerous thing is because they're hitting their brakes, and you got truckers coming behind you,
and they're not hitting their brakes.
They're not hitting their brakes.
The truckers are just going.
And then there's a part of the highway, that in that 45-mile stretch between Laramie and Cheyenne that, of course, is down to one lane. And so that even makes it a little bit more hazardous working on the pavement. But there's always an adventure out here, whether it's in June, September, December, February, whatever it is. Driving out here is always an adventure.
It is. It is. And that... You mentioned the one lane of traffic on the interstate. That's the other season out here. It's either winter or road under construction season. And because that's about the only time they can when it's not dead of winter. And they're always, always working on the roads. That's for sure. Well, Jason, you got anything big you want to start out? Get people talking about or share with the remnant this morning?
Oh, I don't know. I've been kind of... No, out of it, been pretty busy this week and haven't read a whole lot of the news. But I know that one thing is last week, we talked about that, just what was going on, this invasion that's taking place with this immigration. And that was really a hot topic with people. And, I've had several people that have commented on that this week to me and have sent me emails on that. And, it's something that's really, I think that's really hitting a heartstring with people because, it's a serious matter and it is, it's an invasion is what it is. We've been, one thing that I noticed this week is a lot of people were talking about, they're calling them immigrants and, we've got to wait. An immigrant is somebody that migrated and through the migration process, and these are not immigrants. I mean, they're illegal aliens is what they are, and there's quite a difference when you get down to it. And one of the controversies that I heard this week was that because we've had so many of them that that we know for a fact that have broken the law and broken, and you know, are criminals. And how many we've talked about, you know, that they've had 36,000 of them that were convicted criminals that they've turned loose. And one man was called up and said that, you know, he said, well, he said, aren't all of them criminals? And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, we've got laws that say that you can't cross the border. You know, and we're basically, we're bonusing them for, you know, breaking the law. And, you know, I thought that was a really good point, because that's one of the things that we've, you know, we've done. We've made it to where you break the law, you come here, you know, we're going to give you your insurance, we're going to give you so much money per month, we're going to clothe you, we're going to feed you, we're going to give you medical attention. Is all you have to do is break the law and sneak into our country. And, you know, I mean, just the, there's so many things that are insanity about it, but is what we, what it boils down to is destruction of America. They want this heartland destroyed in so many ways. And, you know, it's not, this is, but this is one thing that they're being very effective at destroying America by doing. And, you know, I mean, it's not everything that they're doing. I mean, you know, the churches play a role in it.
Oh, the churches, you know, just love it, don't they?
There's so many different wars being fought on different fronts. But this is one that has escalated, you know, big time recently.
Yeah. Well, and I've seen some news reports as well. The churches, they play right into it, you know. They're on the other side. The majority of the Antichrist Judeo-Christian churches out there, because they welcome them with open arms. And the number one, the biggest one is the Catholic Church. They welcome the, you know, they're the ones that they'll have their mass in, not only, not in Latin anymore, but they'll have it in English and in Spanish.
Yeah, it's because they're Catholics that are coming across the border.
Absolutely it is. That's the majority of them. If they claim any type of religion at all, that's exactly what they are. But you're right, Jason. It's an absolute invasion. Well, hey, the phone's ringing. Let's take a caller this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning. How are we sounding this morning?
I wasn't on the air. I just made the phone call.
All right.
I did not hear any of what you were talking about previously, so I don't know how you're sounding. You know, and I sometimes listen on the computer and sometimes on the shortwave. So, but anyway, you know, what I called about was is this thing with, you know, the Presbyterian Church now also going down with the, you know,
they have,
the gay agenda.
Yeah, the Presbyterian USA congregation voted to accept homosexual pervert marriage. They voted to change their constitution to where marriage is no longer between a man and a woman, but between two people.
Well, you know what's fueling this whole thing going on in the churches pretty much is the once saved, always saved doctrine. See, that's how they're justifying what they're doing with accepting gay marriage and also accepting queers in the pulpit.
Yeah, it's lies, and that's a lie. Once saved, always saved. And you're right, it is. That's one of the many lies that allow them to go forth with this. You know, I'm reminded of the verse that says, the prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. And you're absolutely right. It's lies, but the people love it. The people love the lies.
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't know, you know, it's kind of a dual thing because the churches are pushing it, promoting it, but the people are also wanting it. The churches are giving them just exactly what this morally bankrupt society wants so that they can feel justified to keep doing what they're doing and think they're going to be saved.
Yeah.
But yet, you know, it's very sly how they push this across the people, because this is different than you fighting against a Muslim or fighting against a person with you know, Buddhist or any other religion, because these are people within using your own Bible.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I
think what goes along with it is there is no righteous judgment in the land. The Acres Men on Solutions last night talked about that, that there's a time for judgment, you know, but all you ever hear is, oh, that thou shalt not judge. But, you know, read the rest of that scripture. Read the rest of the verses in there, and it says, thou shalt not judge. And then it says, and when you judge, judge like this. And so, but that's what one of the issues is. There is no righteous judgment, because if there was, when they came up to the USA, the Presbyterian USA, and they said, we have to accept these filthy perverts as, and let them marry. You know, if somebody would have stood up, you know, the Bible judges them. And they judge themselves by the words that they put out, and by what they, you know, what they have. Well,
the biggest problem with this is that the people are using selective verses to create a whole theology that
sure.
is very deceptive.
Yes,
these people, you know, they'll take verses out of context. And then they'll stack them one after another after another after another. It's one supposedly giving yet strength to the one previous to it. And, you know, one backing up another after another. Until you're, you know, when they hit somebody with that, they're so overwhelmed that, they, oh, my gosh, I guess they must be right. Look at this.
Right. And they have it because they, you know, who was it, Jason? Was it Horace Greeley that had the quote about a Bible-reading people?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that you cannot enslave physically or mentally, really or spiritually, a Bible-reading people. But guess what? When the people don't read the Bible, they are easily enslaved. They're easier to run into a pen and make them do what you want than these old cows out here. They really are.
Now, do you know the process by how they're doing this? See, they first break out that verse about you being preordained. See, they say that you are chosen from the beginning of time. You're predestined. And then they break out the next verse and they say, you've been put in God's hand, in Jesus' hand, and no man can pull you out.
Yeah, and they're saved. And they take
believe,
them. Yeah, they take know, them what, completely out of context.
And then they'll take it and they'll say, see, you have no choice in the matter. God picked you, and you're
yeah.
saved.
He could have picked you for destruction.
That's right. And see, it's just, again, it's based on the lies. It truly is based on the lies. So, well, hey, listen, we sure appreciate the call. We're going to try to get another caller in here. And so thanks again for calling, and we'll see if we can get this other caller here. Hey, caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How are y'all this morning?
Doing good. Mr. Russell, how are you?
Okay. Hey, a thought came to me, and it's not an original thought at all, but thought came to me that our president is a lawbreaker. Now, when you think about this, probably he's done it his whole life. I'm just speculating on that. But we know for sure that the law is irrelevant to him. And so my question is, why hasn't somebody filed charges on him? And the answer I get is, well, kind of the same one they got when Clinton perjured himself. It's too complicated. But now we see Mr. Boehner, the crybaby head of the Congress, is suing. Is he suing the president? I believe he is. And you got to scratch your head and say, well, why isn't he bringing impeachment charges against him? What's the difference between the two? Is one a safer method?
I don't know.
Well, isn't it interesting to think about it? I mean, they sent Nixon down the river for... Mm-hmm. For practically nothing, and yet, remember all the singing groups in the 60s that hated Dick Nixon? And I'm sorry, I'm no big fan of Dick Nixon. I think he's the one that initiated giving America away to the Chinese. But my point is, these people are a pile of hypocrites.
Yes.
In the worst possible way. So I just wondered if there's any way that in mass, the population of America, we could get together and file charges against the president formally, send somebody formal charges. This stuff with this invasion, all of this stuff from the South is illegal. And illegal means breaking the law. And the young people are seeing all this, and they're saying, there's no law in this country. It's a lawless society.
It absolutely is.
Was there an impeachment charge against Clinton and Bush? Don't I remember M. Bush?
I know on Clinton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what, did those just go by the wayside? Did they never come before? I mean, I know he went to court because I remember the thing about, well, what is a lie and all this stuff.
And what does what mean?
Yeah.
And what does if mean and some other things that we're not going to talk about here.
Did they throw the gavel down and say innocent? Or what happened there? I don't recall.
When you play good cop, bad cop,
to find him guilty.
And Mr. Boehner's not going to file charges on this president. So this is not new news that I'm bringing out. I'm thinking, well, if God has men, he has men that follow him, shouldn't a real man do something at some point in time? I'm speaking to myself.
Well, I think that when the Holy Spirit moves, that his God's righteous men are going to do something, but I don't think it's going to be through the court system.
But it is a start, isn't it? I mean, we did send formal charges against King George. We tried the righteous way before the Revolutionary War, I believe.
Yeah.
And it fell on deaf ears, didn't it?
That's a good point. Yeah.
But, I mean, God has a method, and he's a very orderly God. And so, I mean, it's... Like, for instance, what if the five of us or the 10 of us or the 100 of us drew up papers and said, you cannot do this. This is against the law. Put it in writing.
That's almost like a formal putting on notice that you're going to be held accountable for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just it's a law of warfare.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's got to be pointed out. Got to be pointed out where you're wrong. And, you know, and they've got to be given the chance to stop.
Well, I guess we could put it in a certified letter and send him a document. Because at some point in time, David did something, didn't he? He reached down and put some stones in his pouch, and he confronted the giant. And I know it seems like this thug that's in control of our nation's a giant, but he's not bigger than my God. So that's just an observation. And
well, Russell, I think you brought up a good point. You know, why don't our people get together and agree on this and do something? And it's because our people can't agree on anything. Our people don't agree on the name of the Son of God. Our people can't agree on a Bible version. Our people can't agree on what kind of beer to drink, you know. And I think that, and it's just my thoughts on the matter right now, that it's, you know, we have this lawless society. We have this ungodly ruler over us because as a people, we haven't turned and repented, you know. We know that there are those of us that have are ushering in the kingdom. But it's just, I think, I don't want to say a matter of time, but I think it's a time of punishment right now, a time of judgment on his people for what's going on here. The invasion from the South, the economic problems that we're having in this nation. It's just judgment from God, and until his people repent, it's not gonna get fixed.
Well, who are his people?
Well, we are his people.
Amen, brother. I know I've done everything that has been brought up. I've repented. Now what? What's the next level? I mean, these are just questions I ask.
Yeah.
I'm not saying any one of you is less than me, because we've actually been in a room where we've all repented together.
Yeah.
It's called communion.
Yeah. Well, I think then we just have to continue on. We have to be the... there's many things we have to do. We have to have the righteous judgment, like the men talked about last night on Solutions. We have to fight that daily fight of faith and continue on and try to, continue to get this gospel message out and continue to get to the people that, as John would say, it's 2 Chronicles 7:14 or bust. And it truly is.
Well, I hope that I've stirred the pot in some way.
You know, Russell, you never ask easy questions, that's for sure. That's a good thing, though.
Thank you for allowing me an opportunity to voice an opinion.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Russell.
You all have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
And we got two more phone lines ringing. I guess we'll just go to them. Hey, good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning. It's Tom in Missouri.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
How's it going? It's a good day here. I was just calling in. I just wanted to throw a praise report out. I couldn't call in at the prayer meeting Wednesday because I was working. And I've been praying for work, and I've asked for prayers for work. So I just want to praise God for work this morning. I've been working in the evening, so, praise God. And I also wanted to throw out there, we're talking about, like the Presbyterian Church brought up and, changing their constitution and all that. And we know there's only one lawgiver, and I can't remember the scripture where it says if we choose to believe the lie or the Lord would send a spirit of deception. I can't grab that scripture in my mind right now, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's if we won't have a love for the truth, that God himself will send a deluding spirit.
Right, yeah, I couldn't quite pin that down.
And that's, I think that's just where we're at as a people. You know, the term truth junkie came up early on in Branson this year. I don't know if it was at the men's meeting or what, but somebody mentioned, being a truth junkie. And that was a term pastor put out that that describes us, those people that don't want the lie, the people that have a love for the truth. Give me the truth. The truth is not politically correct. The truth is not, not acceptable today in today's society, it's certainly not. And the truth is not acceptable to the Presbyterian USA congregation. I think that's the third or fourth largest congregation in the United States. The truth is not acceptable to them. They want a lie. They don't want to have a love for the truth. And so it may be God himself just sending a deluding spirit, and they think they're doing it in love. Oh, haven't we embraced all? We love all like Jesus loved all. I think that's their mindset. It's just they're wrong. It's a deluding spirit.
It's what they teach, whether it's the enemy or the Lord allowing the deluding spirit to go. And that's what I come against anyway. A lot of people, don't even bring up the identity truth of who true Israel is. Just talk about truth of the word and different things, and people are just, they're blown away. They just don't get it. They're just confused, And I think, some of that's the enemy and some of that's the Lord filling his word, doing what he said he would do. So, and I don't know about you men, but I do pray. When I pray, Lord, if there's anywhere that I'm following deception, open my eyes, open my mind, forgive me, show me the truth. Like you said, a truth seeker. So.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'll let you guys go and keep listening on the shortwave. It's coming in strong this morning.
Great. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
And good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Wranglers. Good morning. This is Joe.
Good morning, Joe. Let me pour you a cup this morning. Well, sorry, we just got the fresh pot of coffee on.
give it a shot of milk.
Sure.
Anyway, you're coming in good on shortwave here, and the internet's coming in real well too. So,
well, thanks for that report.
Great report there. I wanted to make a comment about the various translations. I generally stick with the main translation of the ministry. I've got one that was copied. It's revised, but it was revised back in the 80s or something, maybe even the 70s, and they seem to me they stick pretty close to the literal as far as their word usage and everything. But I also have a couple of revised editions that are later on. And I'm running into more and more, as my eyes are being opened, I'm running into these gender-neutral kind of insinuations that the newer versions are putting in. And an example of that is 1 Timothy 1:9, where it says, "Realizing the fact that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for those who are lawless and rebellious." And that word man is anthropos, and it literally means man. Men, mm-hmm. Man, you know, mankind. To a literate person, it does mean mankind. But the word man, for politically correct reasons, is being left out in the newer versions. And here's the revised edition rendering of it. "Realizing the fact that the law is not made for a righteous person."
Yeah, that's what my New American Standard says, is a righteous person.
Yeah, and it's just another subtle way of womanizing our God, getting the word to be more politically correct and gender neutral, and it's to nitpick at something like that. On the surface, it might seem kind of just that, nitpicking, but it's subtle, and there's a political reason behind it all. So, and when you were talking about the Presbyterians, caving into the homo lobby, et cetera, they've been in the churches covertly for decades. The same goes for the media, and the same goes for the society in general. They're a very wealthy minority within our society, and even though they are a minority, they have influence because they're wealthy and they gravitate to the higher intelligence, higher education. And it's just now that with this wacko president, he's just completely off his nut. And by the way, the previous caller to the last one was wondering why doesn't he get impeached? Well, I got news for him. They're not going to. Impeachment is just a move towards him losing his job. He might get impeached, but it'll just be like Clinton. It'll roll off his back like water off a duck's back.
Yeah.
Because he is the first black president, even though he's a mulatto.
Right.
It'll never gain any momentum because of. Especially on the so-called Republican side of the thing.
Right. Yeah, you come against him.
You're afraid of being called racist.
Exactly. You come against him and you're racist. So.
All right. Well,
hey, thanks, Joe.
Okay.
Have a good one. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
All right.
And got a couple of scriptures I want to read here. Has to do with what we're talking about today. You know, Russell, like you said, Russell always asks kind of difficult. They're simple questions, but they're difficult questions.
Yeah.
At the same time. And I don't know how to answer that the question he asked, because there's not like a Bible verse doesn't come out at me to answer that question.
Yeah.
But on some of the other stuff we've hit today, Bible verses do come out. In 1 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul, he's talking to the church and their responsibility in judgment. And I'll start with 9 and I'll read through 13. It says, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for when you would have to go out. I'll read that again. For then you would have to go out of the world. But actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother. Now we're entering to the Presbyterians or the Baptists.
Because they're so-called brethren.
They are saying they're Christians. When a man says he's a Christian, you see, that changes our whole jurisdiction on judgment.
Mm-hmm.
If there's some ungodly person living down the street that never professes Christ as his king, never says he's a brother in Christ. See, God will deal with him. Not that it might, our paths might cross and we might have to deal with him in a certain way. But I'm talking about righteous judgment. And yeah. maybe the guys last night brought this verses out, but if they did, I apologize for repeating them, this is the verse that popped out to me this morning. Anyway, it goes on, so-called brother, if he is an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? And church there means body of Christ. Those that say they're a brother, you know, a member of his body. But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. You know, and then you get into all these denominations, the ones that once saved, always saved. You know, like the caller brought up about predestination. Predestination, my friends, is in the Bible. But that doesn't mean once saved, always saved. Because that's not in, you can fall from grace.
Because that's not in the Bible.
That's not in the Bible. You have to harmonize all these scriptures.
Sure.
And then you got the ones completely on the opposite side that they think everything is in their hands. You know, and they take it completely out of God's hands. You know, well, that's wrong too. You have to harmonize everything. So any man that says, I'm a Christian, I'm a brother in Christ, you know, You've got to open up your eyes, pray, and have discernment to know, is this guy telling me the truth? And what do? You look at this tree in front of you, and you say, well, what kind of fruit is he bearing? Is he bearing the fruit of the Spirit or the fruits of darkness? You know, it ain't that apparent with all of them.
A lot of times it's not, right.
But then you listen, you know, because from the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaketh. So you listen, and you start to figure out. And if he sees an error in you, or if you see an error in him, then it's our job to help correct that error and help save a soul from death if it's to that point. And I mean,
right.
I mean, these things, these scriptures pop out. Okay, righteous judgment. That's righteous judgment. But when you start getting into Obama and you start getting into, you know, these other things that, of course, maybe Obama is saying he's a Christian. I don't know.
I mean, he has.
Yeah, right.
Several times. But you hear him, at least people say, you know, say that he said he's a Muslim as well. So
I just wish the scriptures, and I wish there was examples of, you know, when the apostles in Acts are getting dragged into court and getting rocks thrown at them, and you know, I wish there was examples of them getting a petition up against the Caesar of that day, and you know, I mean, because then I would be like, yeah, right here, let's do that, you know. But we don't have those. We have examples of them standing in the streets preaching the gospel.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
repent, for the kingdom is at hand.
So I don't know. That's the scripture that, you know, today and today's. In where we are in today, that comes to me when it talks about righteous judgment. See, we have an obligation to judge our brother to see if he's what he says he is. Now, the church world, boy, they would say, oh, no. You know, that's the last person you want to judge is your brother. You know? Well, it says right here, You know, you, how do you know if they're a so-called brother or a regular brother? Unless you use some type of judgment, you know? Mm-hmm. What are they saying? What are they doing? What, you know? Anyway.
Good point. Well, the phone lines are open. We've got a few more minutes this morning. 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, talking about a few different things, from the invasion we are currently experiencing to the judgment that we should be doing and we're not, but the judgment is sure coming upon us. Jason, when you were talking about that, the invasion earlier today, I'd flipped over to the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32, and I think at least this scripture points to one of the reasons why. Verse 8 of Deuteronomy 32 says, "When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel." And I think that that applies in the manifest destiny that we used to have in this nation and the settling of this nation. As the sons of Israel that settled the USA, and those three letters are right there in the middle of Jerusalem, and it is the USA is the new Jerusalem, J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M, the new Jerusalem that the Bible speaks of. You know, the reason the boundaries were set that way is because we were growing as a nation, and we needed more land, and we needed more land. And, you know, the way this nation was settled and the massive amount of land that just came into being, so to speak, for this country had never been done before. And I think because it followed right here, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. Well, we've just done what we've always done, and it's right here in verse 15, but Jeshurun, that's another word for Joshua, I think, grew fat and kicked. You are grown fat, thick and sleek. And then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. And so once again, we've done that very thing. And the number of the sons of Israel, even though since the time of Abraham, they have been as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea, they're not anymore. And so God says, if you're not going to fill up the land, well, I'll have somebody else fill up the land. I think that ties right in with the lawlessness that we see. If you're not going to follow my law, I'll give you a law to follow. I'll put so many laws on you that, and they'll pass, how many new laws do they pass every year? Thousands?
Oh yeah, thousands and thousands.
And there's no way to keep up with them. And so this, I think it is. It's judgment on his people. Hey, if you won't fill up the land, I'll fill up the land with the alien. If you won't follow my law, I'll give you law. Well, there's the phone line again. Let's go to it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning. It's Terry from Toronto.
Hey, good morning, Terry.
Like, you're talking about the laws. There's another branch called administrative law, where the regulations are made by the various government agencies, and the judge just basically sits there and waits for the bureaucrats to make the decisions. So you got a whole new level of law, at least here in Canada. But it's getting scary, especially with child welfare. This weekend is a long weekend, and we've got the World Gay Pride Festival here in Toronto. They've got streets closed off, and it's just, you know, there's churches that are isolated because they've closed off the streets around them.
Yeah.
And that's going to go right through till Monday.
Wow, that's in Toronto?
Yeah.
Mm.
But,
well, there's certainly not a lack of things to pray for or against, is there?
Well.
But, you know, Terry, I want to correct you on something. Don't let it be scary. Rejoice about it. rejoice about it, because you know the battle lines are being drawn. Romans 8:28. Let me flip over there and see if it's still in there, because I bet it is. I bet it is. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So if we will make sure that we love God, if we say, you know, Lord, I know this ungodliness is in the land and these perverts are just going to take over Toronto this year, but Lord, we love you. And let us, hopefully we are called according to your purpose. Let us be called according to your purpose. And so, Lord, we know you're going to work all this together for good. You're going to let those filthy faggot perverts flaunt their filthy lifestyle in front of people. And some people are going to look at that and say, that's wrong. And it's going to wake some people up out of their spell. And so, you know, we have to not be fearful. We have to not let these things scare us.
Amen.
But we have to look at them with, but we have to look at them, I think, with spiritual eyes and try to see that God is working a work here. Is that?
Yeah.
Does that seem to be right?
Easier said than done.
Very well. Yeah. Yeah. But we are to, you know, to take our thoughts captive and to. You know, and I think that's part of fighting that daily fight of faith.
Yeah. Anyways, the Lord's leading me on to plan B with my health. But I find there is no real reason to despair. Because if these people are closing the door here, the Lord's got something better.
Amen.
So I'll touch base with you next week.
All right.
We'll give you a call during the week.
Okay, Terry. Thank you.
God bless. Bye.
Jason, did you know about that world? What is it? World Pervert Weekend?
Oh, basically, yeah, that World Pride Fest.
Usually, when
they go, they have them all over the place. You know, I mean, the thing is that what we're talking about is we're talking about different things. You know, God's not going to share in His glory. You know, when He delivers His people. You know, I mean, I think is what we're seeing what happened in the time of Gideon, when, you know, Gideon had, you know, 30,000. He gets cut down to 3,000. Then he gets cut down to 300. You know, the reason that happened is because God wasn't going to share in his glory in the deliverance. You know, if there was 30,000 of them, Gideon and his soldiers would be saying, look what we did. You know, because to get cut down to 3,000, that's a little more humbling. Down to 300, that's extremely humbling.
Where it's completely obvious.
There isn't any room for them to say, look what we did.
Yeah.
You know, and right now, you know, I mean, if we were fighting one front, you know, for our people, for our country, you know, people would still be saying, look what we did.
Yep.
You know, we did this and we did that. It's not going to be about us or what we did. You know, it's going to be about, you know, the part that we can do is we can pray, we can repent, and we can call on the name of the Lord. And we can do mighty things in His name. But apart from him, we can do nothing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I believe that's why we're seeing, you know, wars being fought on so many different fronts. Because it's to the point where, you know, you have people that say, oh, we need to do this, we need to do that. I mean, and I'm not saying that we need to, we don't quit trying. We try things because we've got spiritual laws of warfare that are put in place that we are to do, but we do it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And we need to remember that when we have a deliverance, He's the one that delivered.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, time for another sip of coffee, and there's the phone ringing again. That'll work out just right. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi. I think I just missed part of what Jason had to say. I'm going to have to listen to this again. It was interesting. But he's coming in a little more faint than you are. Other than that, the sound is fantastic. And that might just be his phone over there, too. But, you know, we were talking about the... Why are we petitioning Congress? And you mentioned, you know, we can't get it together on anything. Part of the problem is, I mean, there's so many people not in the same universe, and this has something to do with what I think Jason was starting to say. I mean, you know, not being able to agree. If we had a bunch of people not being able to agree on Yeshua or something like that, I mean, we'd be way ahead. I mean, for the most part, they have no idea what you're talking about. It's more like what kind of beer we're going to drink is probably being given a lot more consideration for most people. You know? That's part of that. And as far as the, you know, what I think it was Russell was his name was saying.
Yes.
I mean, I think giving these people notice is good. And I don't know, I did this last year when, I think it was last year, when they were going to invade Syria. And sort of a last resort. And I don't know why it was a last resort. It shouldn't have been. Should have been something I was doing. But I just called up the usual staff where you talk to with a congressman and said, look, you know, I have no illusion that you're going to do anything one way or the other based on my call. And I'm not talking about, you know, I'll be inclined to vote for the congressman, blah, 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 and please consider. I'm just telling you this. You know, you go into Syria, and I won't be the only one. You'll be in our prayers. And I said, not the kind of prayers you want to be in, you know. And then I said, that applies to all of you. You know, and I think it's important to give them a notice. But as far as these petitions and things like that, I think the pastor said one time, well, what? Who are we going to petition? The authorities?
Or God. Or God.
Yeah, exactly. He says, and if you go to put up a presidential petition or petition to courts or take it to court or anything else, petitioning is just another way of saying praying, and you're praying to them and expecting some kind of favorable outcome. You know? And as far as this, or and as far as, you know, Congress, why isn't Congress doing this or that? It's showbiz. It's pro wrestling. There's no difference. I mean, you know, the reason that Boehner is suing someone is that he knows it's not going to fly. You know, he knew that repealing the Health Care Act that the Republicans and the so-called conservatives helped to pass, and I can prove it, was just show business. Yeah. He wasn't going to get anywhere.
Yeah, he's doing it because he was told to do it.
Sure, and that's one of the reasons. Yeah. One of the reasons, you know, just as a side thought, one of the reasons I puke when I hear someone use the word conservative or liberal, someone I think has got a little bit rolling around upstairs, as if there might be a difference.
Yeah.
Or Republican and Democrat, as if there might be a difference. You know, as I see, you know, we're dealing with this EPA that Nixon signed into law. It's part of their show biz. It's like we're following some kind of soap opera when we say that or something like that. There's not a dime's worth of difference, as the quote goes from the pastor. And, you know, just a side note, something I wanted to mention that I've been thinking about the last couple of weeks. You know, when you down there are saying, well, you know, it seems things are getting faster, the times are, you know, it's speeding up, things are getting faster, I always thought, you know what, you'll figure it out. You guys are getting older, that's what it is.
Well, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord for that, though. You know,
it's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
So what I mean is, it didn't seem like a speeding up of anything. But when I'm looking at this immigration thing, this is a speeding up. They're accomplishing our enemy is accomplishing in a day what would have taken them a month or a year in the past. I mean, when all these people just streaming over the border. You know, and I go to the store to try to buy a piece of produce in a store that doesn't come from Mexico. And I'm wondering, who's picking that stuff down there?
Yeah, because they're all coming up here.
Exactly. Is there anybody left down there?
There's a lot of them.
There must be a lot of them. Yeah, that's what Kyle said. Yep.
I mean, you know, maybe I'll go down there and pick.
There you go. Well, Bell, thanks for the call. We're about out of time today, brother. Thank you. All right.
Bye.
I think of the words of Christ, how he said in how I wished it was already kindled 2,000 years ago. Well, it's getting kindled. It's getting ready.
It is. Yeah. It is. Well, Remnant, we thank you for joining us and for this coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Remember, these programs are archived at our network website, sfawbn.com. And you can go there and see our complete broadcasting schedule. So if you want to know what played at 2 a.m. last night, you can go look there and the broadcast schedule, and it'll show you. And you can even click on and listen to it right there. Or you can buy a CD of it. And it's, I think it's up there for the last 3 months. And so if you missed it here, they are archived. The messages are archived there. And we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. We'll be holding church services at the LaPorte Church of Christ in LaPorte, Colorado at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. Got a couple people that emailed me this week coming up from Denver. That Mike said they might come up and visit us. They've been up before. So we appreciate them letting us know that. But you don't have to come to Colorado to join us at church. You can just go to the regular website, scriptures4america.org. Again, at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and click on the live video stream and join us for church. We're going to start out with a scriptural review of the news. And I think Jason's got the welcome tomorrow, don't you, Jason?
Yes, I do.
So be a little different again because John's traveling and out of town. So join us tomorrow. You get to see Jason, and he'll have a welcome and some interesting things for you. And Paul will be there and have some music. And Kyle, you're going to be bringing a communion message tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
And then we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message from our pastor. So we do encourage you to take the time to join us tomorrow morning. And come to church with us. Well, men, thanks for joining us this morning. And let's go out with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, as we said at the beginning of the program for this day. We do, Lord, as we wrap this program up, ask for you to be with John as he's out traveling, Lord, about the Father's business. Strengthen him, Lord, protect him. Keep your traveling angels with him, Lord, and just guide and direct him. Let him find favor in all that he's doing. And Lord, just let your guiding hand be upon him to make the right decisions and to do the things that he needs to do. Lord, bring him home safe and protect his family while he's gone. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
See you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.